We respond to the sad news yesterday of the passing of Robin Williams with a look at his career. At age 63, Williams was found dead in his California home yesterday. The suspected cause of death is suicide. Currently, there's an investigation into the official cause of death.
Williams began his career as a comedian but evolved into a versatile Academy Award-winning actor. He became known for his more serious roles in movies like The Dead Poets Society and Good Will Hunting.
And we'll take your calls throughout this conversation. What is your favorite Robin Williams role? Do you have a favorite moment from his stand-up or his many talk show appearances? Call in and share your thoughts and memories and what we've lost at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org or post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
Jonathan Gray is here to talk about the career of Robin Williams. He's a professor of media and cultural studies at UW-Madison. Jonathan, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start at the beginning of the career of Robin Williams, and he was first known as an alien on the popular show Mork and Mindy. Let's take a listen.
That's enough. I'll tell you what you want to know.
I don't believe you. Don't you get haircuts on Orf?
No, we tried to avoid them because of the Naga Chomps.
Naga Chomps, what's that?
It's a small green creature about this big. We put them on our heads and let them graze. They're vicious little animals, kind of...
That sounds dangerous.
Oh, only if you fall asleep in the chair. Occasionally a maverick will get loose from the herd and run down your neck. That's why we have to set traps in our shorts.
It's still funny. I don't know. I haven't heard Mork and Mindy in a long time, but it's a good show, even today, right?
Yeah, no, I haven't watched it for a while. In fact, I forgot that it started with Happy Days, that most boring of shows.
Did we know what we had then with Robin Williams as Mork? Did we get a sense of what was to come just from that early sitcom?
Yeah, I mean, I think actually you see the sort of roots of a performance that you'll see again and again throughout his movies as... You know, one of the things that's so appealing about him is his sort of childlike quality, that sort of fragility to him, and a character who's kind of all alone. And if you think that sort of carries all the way through and then gets picked up in things like Hook, where he's the sort of the boy who never grew, or who did grow old but shouldn't have grown old, and so forth.
Do you think his career, his style changed a lot over time, or is he someone who just sort of came out of the gate perfect, funny, and feeling all together at once?
Yeah, I mean, his stand-up has a very sort of explosive style, which you see throughout of a lot of his performances. But I also think that, yeah, I mean, as I was saying in response to your question about Mork, I think his style has always had that sort of fragility, a sense of loss, which I think is one of the things that makes him so likable. You know, when we meet people who are just impossibly happy and seem to, like, love everything, they're often quite annoying. Whereas I think one of the things that made sort of Robin Williams's, you know, message that he gave in a movie after movie of sort of seize the day and value it was the sense that the character and perhaps the actor was suffering from some sense of a loss. His characters often lost a family member or were aware of death on the horizon or death in the past. And right from the World According to Garp, one of his first roles, in which he's just brilliant. I mean, I still think that's probably my favorite role of his.
Watching Mork and Mindy again, I watched it regularly when I was a kid. Watching it again, looking at the other actors, they seemed to be genuinely laughing. I mean, they weren't acting necessarily, whether he was ad-libbing or not. It seemed so spontaneous that, you know, if I had been standing there, I would have reacted the same way he did. I can't think of anybody else quite like that, honestly. Can you?
No, I mean, I think of, you know, sometimes the inability of people to keep a straight face when they're on the Colbert show with Stephen Colbert. But even then, that's with a character that Colbert sort of turns on just for the show and quite often has off afterwards. Whereas you hear endless stories of people who sort of met Robin Williams in a grocery store or met him, you know, after shooting had finished and they were a crew member, and how incredibly hilarious he was. You could give him any kind of prop and he'd do something with it.
Let's go to our phone lines right away and take Steve from Racine. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. What is your favorite Robin Williams moment?
I used to love his imitation of John Wayne playing Hamlet.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up.
I can actually kind of do it. It's not as good as Robin, but if you allow me, I'll give it a go.
All right, sure, go for it.
Is this a dagger I see before me?
Yeah, that's pretty
Macbeth.
Good.
Yeah, Macbeth.
I remember that one.
Oh, Macbeth, yeah. I'm sorry, yes. You know, the world just somehow seems like not just a less good place without Robin Williams. It's truly sad by his loss.
That's well put. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. And I think, does that come from his stand-up, Jonathan?
Yeah. I mean, I think he was doing lots of impressions in his stand-up. I mean, it's hard. You know, a lot of comedians, the stuff that's in their stand-up and appears in their movies, and you know, when you're a good improv artist, you've always got these things on the tip of your tongue. You can reuse them again, but I just remember back in the sort of early 80s when I was listening to anything I could get my hands on of his stand-up, lots of impression, lots of just sort of quick-fire humor that blended into something else. It's sort of perfect for a mash-up culture that we're now in.
Let's give a listen to just a bit of a stand-up. There was so much to choose from. Here's a clip.
This is why I had to give up alcohol, because you have to pay the next day. Pray, dear Lord, please don't hurt me now. There you are lying in bed, and you feel like the scene from the movie The Fly going, help me, help me. The entire room is spinning like a roulette wheel. Place your bets, place your bets. And there's the old toilet in the corner going, talk to me.
Well, and that's what you're talking about there exactly, Jonathan. How many characters were in just that short clip there? And I remember watching him on, you know, the Tonight Show or whatever, and he'd get on a roll, and there would be like 20 different characters speaking through him at a time.
Yeah, I mean, and so much of his the fun just came from sort of these weird juxtapositions of characters or styles you would never expect to see together. You know, John Wayne doing Hamlet, as the last caller suggested.
You know, we heard that reference to alcohol in that clip, and as we know, he struggled with addiction over the years. And some people say that there is a dark side within all comedians, and it expresses itself as comedy. Do you think that's the case here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you often find this. I think comedians, as much as we tend to think that comedians are dealing with the light side of life, they're often not. They're often exploring all sorts of dark things, because comedy is one of the only realms that we allow ourselves as a culture to discuss all sorts of taboo subjects. So, you know, when we deal with death, when we deal with sort of human fragility and frailty, when we deal with failure, we're often dealing with it in the realm of comedy. So I think almost all comedians are dealing with that at some level, I think more so in is often the case with Robin Williams's work.
Back to our callers with Justin on the line now in Milwaukee. Justin, hi.
Hi. I love the topic today, and I just wanted to share, I remembered after 9/11, for a long time it seemed like the whole country was in mourning, and there wasn't anything really funny. Like, we could get excited about sports, but we just didn't get excited about anything else. And I remember his HBO Live on Broadway special coming on, and I don't remember in the previous year, it was like 2002, I don't think I laughed that hard for a whole year before that. And I guess that's what I'll remember most, and I just wish we had gotten a little more of that before he had to go.
Thanks, Justin. Well, there's that laughter and taboo that you were talking about, Jonathan. Robin Williams was maybe the right person to tackle things and get us laughing again.
Yeah, I mean, I remind me of a story I just read yesterday that I never heard before. But you know, Robin Williams and Christopher Reeve were roommates and friends from Juilliard, and Christopher Reeve had his horrible accident and was in hospital, he talked about how Robin Williams burst in dressed as in full scrubs, using a Russian accent, saying it was time for his rectal examination, and it was the first time that he had laughed in a long, long time. And I just think that, you know, Williams's ability sort of charged through some of those moments, and comedians can do that in such a wonderful way.
Yeah, you can just imagine that moment. He must have been hilarious and a light for Christopher Reeves in that moment, too. Well, we're talking right now about the career of actor and comedian Robin Williams. We lost him yesterday. He was found dead in his home at the age of 63. We're talking with media and culture expert Jonathan Gray and taking your calls.
Yeah, we're talking with you to share your favorite Robin Williams memory, your favorite Robin Williams performance with us now. Share your thoughts on what we've lost, too, at 800-642-1019. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit.
We're continuing our conversation now about the career of Robin Williams with media and culture expert Jonathan Gray.
And we're taking your calls now. What is your favorite Robin Williams role, memory? What's your favorite performance? What's the favorite stand-up bit from his career? Call in and share your thoughts and memories at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll give a listen to a more serious role in Robin Williams' career from Dead Poets Society.
Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines?
Because he's in a hurry.
No. Ding! Thank you for playing anyway. Because we are food for worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die.
Jonathan, alongside his comic career, Robin Williams did a bunch of very memorable, serious roles as well. Not everybody makes that transition so smoothly.
No, I mean, I think he, and right from the beginning, I mean, World According to Garp was one of the first movies he did, and it was a really serious role where he's trying to, you know, capture the spirit of one of John Irving's sort of greatest characters, and I think he really cut a path for a lot of other stand-ups, and also for people to take seriously the degree to which comic acting takes a lot of skill. And that skill could be transferred into all sorts of dramatic acting, too.
Let's go back to our phones now and take Kay in Madison. Hey, Kay.
Hi. I just am reminded of the phrase that there's a fine line between genius and insanity. It seems like some of the people that I know that have been the most creative, Robin Williams was so... He moved so fast that I had to really try hard to keep up with where he was headed. But he really struggled with emotional stuff, much like Jonathan Winters, who was his mentor.
Right. Well, thank you, Kay. And Kay talking about some of the struggles that he had alongside this incredible genius, not just in comedy, but in drama as well. Do you think that maybe in some way the two informed each other, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we can reel off a huge list of great comedians who have sort of succumbed to all sorts of sort of abusive behaviors and have suffered from depression horribly, and it's sad to see that the two are often going together. I mean, hopefully it would be a reminder to us all that, you know, not everyone who's suffering from depression walks around with a Charlie Brown cloud above their head, that sometimes they look like they're doing great when in fact that might be a symptom of what they're struggling with.
Kay, thanks for the call. We'll go to Brady in Menominee now. Brady, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I really just wanted to share my fondest memory of Robin Williams. Growing up as a child, I remember waking up to my father would blast track number one on the Good Morning Vietnam soundtrack. I don't know if you've heard it, but it goes a little something like this. Good morning, Vietnam. This is not a test. Just wonderful memories there, and that certainly got me out of bed, so...
Brady, thanks.
Thank you.
What a great memory to share. And Jonathan, that seems like a role made for Robin Williams. He got to do the comedy in that movie. He got to do all the characters. And yet it was a very serious and poignant movie as well. That one, to me, really brought it all together.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to find a movie where both his comic chops and his dramatic chops are working so wonderfully in tandem. I mean, I should say, I think my father woke me up many times with the exact same phrase.
Since this is radio, I'm really struck fresh with his voice. There's something about his voice, there's the way that it rings out. And he was an actor who was able to do just voice work as well. I'm thinking about how he played the genie in Aladdin. And I wonder if we could, let's take a listen to that and then think about, you know, the incredible gift of just his voice.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I mean, this,
I'm...
This guy...
your master?
That's right! He can be taught!
What would you wish of me?
The ever impressive.
The long contained!
You often imitate that?
But never duplicated!
Duplicated!
Genie of the lamp!
Wow, how does he do that? It's like there's 10 different voices in there, Jonathan.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. I mean, it's also important to remember that one of the legacies that Robin Williams carries on is that, I mean, he really kicked off the era of this sort of celebrity casting for voice casting for animated films. I mean, his role as Genie and all that, and really sort of his legal struggles with Disney to be fairly remunerated really opened up a new era in voice acting for film and for animated film in particular.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Lynn on the line in Black River Falls. Lynn, hi.
Hi. I was just calling because I actually got a brief encounter with Robin Williams when I actually worked security of the set What Dreams May Come. And in the morning, he would come by and always say good morning and ask you how you were. And when he asked you how you were, he was just so sincere and actually wanted to know. And he was always just so pleasant, and the vibrant blue eyes were just so stunning.
Lynn, thank you so much for sharing that story. And Jonathan, I understand you briefly met Robin Williams.
Yeah, very briefly. Nothing sort of celebrated. I was working at the University of California, Berkeley. I had just gone to see a talk from George Soros, and as I was filing out of the auditorium, I realized the man in front of me in line was Robin Williams. So I tapped him on the shoulder and said I really liked his work, and I mean he looked me straight in the eye. He was just sort of, you know, appreciative. He clearly wasn't on and didn't really want to be recognized, so he was keeping his voice low, but very appreciative. You know, I mean, I lived in London for a while and would often go and talk to actors when they came out of the theater, and you know, more often than not, they don't give you the time of day, and it was just nice to see a sort of genuine moment from a person who just sort of wanted to engage with another human being.
Jonathan, is there a favorite role that you have from Robin?
Yeah, I mean, I said it earlier, but I think World According to Garp, I'd almost go right back to the beginning. I think he did a lot of great roles, but there's something sort of beautiful about that character, very melancholy. I've been thinking about it a lot today because Garp is sort of always doomed from the beginning, and in the wake of the news that, you know, Mr. Williams had killed himself, it seems sort of fitting in a horrible way. It's just a sort of beautiful study of you know, what are the moments and the places in our life where we can make a difference and we make things better for people.
Back to the phones now with Eric on the line in Madison. Eric, hi.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, I just wanted to say one of my favorite roles of Robin Williams, and it hasn't been mentioned yet, but he was in Death to Smoochie with Edward Norton, and he played kind of the antagonist there. And there's one scene where it's two kids show hosts, and it's a off-screen battle with them, but they end up in the rafters of a stadium, and he falls out and lands on the field, and everybody comes running over to him, and they say, Rainbow, are you okay? And he looks at him and says, well, I'm pretty messed up in general, so it's kind of hard to gauge.
Eric, thanks. Jonathan, a versatile career for Robin Williams. Can you leave us with a couple thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, he really owned the sort of a particular decade from sort of like, you know, the 80s into the 90s. He stars alongside some of the more celebrated actors of our time and often outshines them, not only in his comic ability, but also in acting ability. I think he made a lot of people laugh and also made a lot of people think about the sort of value of life, and hopefully the news about his passing would do the same.
Jonathan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Jonathan Gray leaves us now, professor at UW-Madison. We'll still go with some of your memories of Robin Williams at 800-642-1234. I think we'll still listen to a clip from Mrs. Doubtfire in a minute, too. Anna in La Crosse is on the line. Anna, hi there.
Hi there. I just wanted to comment that when we heard the news, my husband and I, our jaws both dropped. Good Will Hunting, to me especially, was a very formative movie for me. It came out right when I was starting to blossom as a teenager, and it actually made me realize that everyone has their own unique qualities, and as a matter of fact, encouraged me to seek some therapy myself and really helped me along. I have always appreciated Robin Williams as an actor.
Anna,
now I feel even closer to him.
Anna, thank you so much for sharing those thoughts.
Yeah, and interesting to hear how art affects real life, how the lives of people and the art that they do can have a ripple effect right into people's actual day-to-day lives. So interesting. Thank you, Anna. And we're going to go next to Debbie in Menominee. Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
One of my favorite Robin Williams movies is Patch Adams. It's based on a true story about an individual that ended up becoming a doctor. But in the story, I mean, all of Robin Williams' talents as a comedian just come through because there's really some serious things in it, but there's also a lot of happiness and making people happy. He's a doctor. He's going to medical school, and he sneaks into the hospital to see the patients, and he's entertaining the kids in the children's ward. There's a part in the movie where there is a gentleman that is dying of cancer, and Robin, and he's struggling with the whole process, the patient. And Robin goes in, and he's just trying to break through and be with that individual as a hospice. It's a great movie. It's one of my favorite ones that he was in.
Debbie, thanks a lot for the call. We go out with a clip from Mrs. Doubtfire?
Absolutely.
All right.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Oh, sorry I'm late. After all those scotches, I had to like a racehorse. Mm.
Daniel?
Yeah?
Why in God's name are you dressed like a woman?
Well, I'd like you to meet the host of your new show.
Host?
Euphrigenia Doubtfire, dear. I specialize in the education and entertainment of children.
Robin
Williams.
Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire. As we talk about the past of Robin Williams and his career, you can continue the conversation on the Central Time Facebook page.